Today we're in Psalm 119 once again. Psalm 119, and resume our study in verse 105. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 119, 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path. Without light, we would be in big trouble. I think you would agree. Without light, we may grab the wrong prescription and create big problems for ourselves. Without light, we'd stumble into ditches and holes. Without light, we couldn't be productive because we couldn't see where we were going and what we were doing. It's a good thing that on day one, God created light. Light shows us the way. Light gives us confidence to move because it shows us the direction that we should go. And the Bible refers to itself as our spiritual light. It shows us the right thing to do and the right way to behave. You can go forward with confidence obeying the Word of God. The Bible is your light. It will never, it will never steer you the wrong way. Consequently, I don't care what reasoning someone uses to get you to believe or act contrary to Scripture. Their reasoning is unreasonable. I mean, if the light shows you that you'll be safe turning right, but that you're going to fall over a cliff if you turn left, well, then you better go right. And anybody who tells you to go left is unreasonable. And there's a cliff waiting for people who don't follow the light of God's word as well. 106. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous ordinances. The Bible says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. People do not fall into holiness by accident. Holiness isn't going to slap us on the side of the head one morning and say, I'm moving in. If we don't want holiness, if we don't aim for holiness, then it's not going to happen in our life. So holiness and repentance, it starts in our mind. Repentance begins when we say, I'm sick of sin. I am tired of messing up my life. I am tired of messing up my walk with Christ. And so the writer said, I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep your righteous judgments. He may fail, even though he is determined. We may fail, even though we are determined. But we will certainly fail if we are not determined. 107. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according unto thy word. Serving God doesn't prevent trouble. Actually, it guarantees trouble. Remember what Jesus said? In this world, you will have tribulation. So, I don't know if you caught this, but in verse 106, he says, I'm keeping your word. And then in verse 107, he says, I sure am having a lot of trouble. Shouldn't surprise us. And the Bible says that we shouldn't think it's strange when we fall into various trials. There's a lot of Christians who think it's strange when they fall into various trials. Why? God says, don't think it's strange. What are you shocked about? So bad people have done bad things to you that you didn't deserve. People have treated you unfairly. You deserve better. Well, why are you surprised at that? I don't get it. After all the warnings God gives you in your word, in his word, I should say, that you shouldn't be shocked by these sorts of things? You should expect them? Why are Christians shocked? I don't understand. Read your Bible and you would see that these things can be expected. 108. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thine ordinances. See, that's how he's going to respond to his trials, to unfair, unkind treatment. He's going to praise God, even though he isn't happy, even though his feelings are not really in it. That's talking about the sacrifice of praise. The freewill offering here refers to the sacrifice of praise. If you praise God in times of trouble, if you praise God when you really don't feel like praising, then you are offering him a sacrifice of praise. Anyone can praise God when times are good. It takes true devotion to God to recognize that he is worthy of praise when times are not good. 109, my soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. He says, my soul is in my hand. Our soul consists of our mind, our emotions, and our will. Now, our sin nature wants to control what we think, feel, and do, but so does the Holy Spirit who is in us. Who will control our soul is decided by us. It is in our hands. It is our decision. And we can hand the control of what we think and do to the Holy Spirit, or we can let our sin nature have control. It's up to us. Our soul is in our hands. 110. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. The devil can try to trick you into sinning. Other people can set you up to sin or tempt you to sin. And Lord knows there's a lot of that around. It's everywhere. But the choice to sin or to refrain from it is always yours. The devil is a master at laying traps. But none of his traps can spring if we stay true to the Word of God. His hands are tied when we follow the Word of God. All sorts of sinful traps were laid for the writer, but none of them sprang because he followed the Bible. The Bible gives us a safe path through the sinful minefields of this world. 111. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. God is our very wealthy Father, and Jesus our very wealthy brother, and they have left us all that we need for peace and joy. Spiritually speaking, you can live on this book. I'm saying this book will give us more joy than anything in this world. That's why he says, thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. Your word is the rejoicing of my heart. This book gives me more joy than any new car that I've ever purchased in the past, and it's been a long time, or any house that I may have purchased. This book contains more joy than a Packer Super Bowl, or Brewer World Series, or a Twins World Series. It contains more joy for me than a Badger Final Four. The Bible gives me more joy than the Milwaukee Bucks winning an NBA championship. And the joy that the Bible gives doesn't fizzle in a couple of hours, as is the case with those things. 112. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. He says, I've inclined my heart to perform your statutes. Roofs are built with an incline so that the rain runs off and hits the ground. The builder inclines the roof in the direction that he wants the water to flow. If we want our actions to honor God, then our hearts have to be inclined toward God. See that? The more of God's word you put into you, the steeper the incline will be toward God. The steeper the incline you have toward God, the faster you will obey him, and the more natural it will be for you to obey him. 1:13, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. He hates because he loves. He loves God's law, so he hates vain thoughts. And I mentioned this last time, some people will not use the word hate. Some Christians won't. They just say, oh, it's too strong. Well, God uses it an awful lot. And if something is wrong, if something is contrary to Scripture, then God hates it, which means that hate is good in those situations. We should hate whatever God hates. Anything, any idea, any thought, any act which contradicts Scripture is vain. Which is why he says in 1:13, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. It's vain, meaning it's empty, it's worthless, it's a waste of energy to think about it or to do it. But when we think about God's word and we do God's word, we are doing something worth doing. 1:14, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. When I was a boy and teenager and a young adult actually too, I went hunting squirrels with my father a lot. And for several years, my son Aaron and I have done it as well. Haven't done it now for a few years, but we did for many years. And it may not seem like much of a challenge, but hunting squirrels is a real challenge because if for no other reason, you are in their backyard. And they know every sound, every tree, every twig, and every hole in every tree as well. And so when they hear you or they see you, they'll take off like a bolt. And they'll, if they're on the ground, they're tearing around between the trees and running like a bullet. Or they might climb a tree and then jump from tree to tree in the air. And it looks like they're running aimlessly, but they're not. Squirrels know exactly where they're going. And sometimes they'll run for a block. I've chased them for a block. But they know exactly where they're going. They're headed for that one particular tree that has a nice hole that they'll crawl into because they know they're safe from hunters. And they stay in that hole until they feel safe. They'll stay in that hole for an hour before they crawl out. It's their refuge. It protects them. When an animal is being hunted, they run to their hiding place. The hunter is smarter. The hunter has a more powerful weapon. But he won't get the animal as long as he stays in that hiding place. God is the protector of his people. The devil is stronger and smarter than us. The devil hunts us down. But the devil can't touch us if we remain obedient to the Bible. Oh, he can cause trouble if God lets him, but he can't hurt us spiritually if we obey the Word of God. Jesus and obedience to the Word of God is our hiding place. You stay in your hiding place, the devil can't touch you. He can make a lot of noise, but he can't touch you. See, the devil had no power over Eve. He had no leverage over her until she disobeyed the word of God. He had no power to harm her until she gave him that power by her sin. 1:15. Depart from me, ye evildoers, for I will keep the commandments of my God. In other words, you're wasting your time trying to make me do what you do because I'm not going to do it. You evildoer, get out of here. That's what he's saying. Go find someone else to entice you, no account Christ rejecting, Bible hating, worthless piece of sinful trash. Get out of here. Go entice someone else, because I'm not like you. You're wasting your time. And what I really like about this guy is he's not ashamed of his devotion to Christ. He's not ashamed of his devotion to the Word of God. Never be ashamed to stand on the Word of God and live by the written Word of God. Those who live like the devil are the ones who should be ashamed. 1:16. Uphold me according unto thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. He doesn't want to feel foolish for living by the Word of God. He says, come through for me, just as the Word of God says you will, so I won't feel like an idiot for obeying you. Now, that's not a good attitude to have. You see, those who feel foolish for obeying the Word of God simply because they experience trouble as a result, or because the ungodly seem to be more prosperous, are short-sighted and worldly-minded. If we don't have an eternal worldview, we'll become discouraged, because more often than not, God rewards righteousness in eternity, not in this life. Way too many Christians are way too concerned about their life here rather than their eternal well-being. 1:17, hold thou me up, and I shall be safe, and I will have respect unto thy statutes continually. He says, hold me up, God. I need you. God is the only one who can lift us up. He's the only one who can hold us up once he's lifted us up. God is the only one who can save us from hell. He's the only one who can keep us saved. God's job is to save us. Our job is to respect his word and live it in appreciation for being saved. 1:18, thou hast trodden down all those who err from thy statutes, for their deceit is falsehood. God rejects those who stray from his word. Talking about people who wander through life like a stray dog. They do their own thing. They have no master but themselves. And that's how they want it to be. And that's fine. If that's what you want to do, go ahead. God will honor your free will. But what you have chosen will also be your lot in eternity. God will reject them after they die, because they have no regard for him during their life. 1:19. Thou puttest away all the wicked of the earth like dross. Therefore I love thy testimonies. A good reason to love God's word and live it is because God will one day get rid of the wicked who don't live it and don't like it. And certainly, by all means, don't love it. There's not going to be any room for the wicked when God makes a new earth in eternity. Sin messed up his first world, but God will not allow it to happen in the next world. So if we receive Jesus Christ, and therefore we love God's word and live God's word, confessing when we fail, we're saved. And Jesus is going to clean us up and make us a new creation who will never sin. We'll be a perfect fit in heaven and on the new earth. 1:20, my flesh trembleth for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. He was afraid of God, and he was afraid of God's judgments. And he was a God-loving, Bible-loving believer. This isn't a moral reprobate talking here. This is no atheist talking here. He was a child of God, which is why he feared God. He loved God, and God loved him, which is why he feared God. Those of us who know Christ are loved by our Heavenly Father, which is a good reason to fear him. You say, fear him because he loves you? Yes, fear him because he loves you. He loves you enough to give you a good whipping when you sin, to chasten you, to make you better. 1:21, I have executed justice and righteousness. Leave me not to mine oppressors. He wasn't shy about asking God for help because he was living right. Well, I'll tell you, nothing enlivens our prayers like holiness. When you're close to God, your prayers will be powerful and your prayers will be heard because you will naturally want what God wants to give. And you'll ask for what he enjoys giving. And if by some chance he doesn't give it, you'll know that he has a good reason for that as well. And you'll be okay with it. 122. Be surety for thy servant for good. Let not the proud oppress me. God is our surety for good. He is our guarantee that everything will be okay. And here's how he does it. God loves you with a perfect love. So he wants what is best. God is perfect in wisdom and knowledge, so he knows what is best. And God is so much more powerful than anyone who wants to hurt you, including the devil, that it's not even close. In fact, it's not even far. It's infinitely further than far. God wants what is best for you. God knows what is best for you, and nothing can stop him from giving you what is best, which is why he is our surety, our guarantee for good. I don't care how rocky the road gets in our life, when the dust clears and we are in forever, we're going to be happy and feel good. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit guarantee it. 123. Mine eyes fail for thy salvation and for the word of thy righteousness. His eyes feel like they're about to burn out. He's been searching the word of God so hard that he can hardly go on. He's tired. He's worn out from reading the Bible. He's tired. He's worn out from trying to find people in this sin-sick world who are actually living the Bible. Where are they? He wants to be saved out of the moral rot. He wants God to change things. He's sick of people lying to each other. He's sick of cheaters. He's sick of people who don't care about anyone except themselves. He's sick of murder. He's sick of people stealing little children. He's sick of homosexuality being regarded as heroic. He's sick of war. He's sick of everything. He's sick of greed. He's sick of sin. Where is the word of God in people's lives? That's the question he wants answered. Where is it? That's what he's looking for. Oh, it's easy to find the leather-bound word of God, but where is it being lived? He's tired. And it's hard trying to be right in a world that is wrong. 124. Deal with thy servant according unto thy mercy, and teach me thy statutes. He's looking for holiness in others. And he's also trying to be holy himself. But he still knows that he has to ask for mercy. Now, it doesn't matter how good we are. It doesn't matter if we don't think we are as bad as the next person, which is what this guy implied in the previous verse. Still, we need the mercy of God ourselves. We have sinned. I have sinned. And therefore, we all need God's mercy. You see, it's okay to condemn the sin in others as long as we condemn the sin in ourselves also. We're all spiritual beggars needing the mercy of God, which comes through Jesus Christ, our Savior. 125. I am thy servant. Give me understanding that I may know thy testimonies. You can't serve God if you don't know what he wants. And you won't know what he wants unless you find it in the Holy Scriptures. People who attend our Sunday morning service, or listen to scripture verse by verse, or watch it on television, or whatever, get a message out of off the internet, and come back for seconds and thirds, they must care about Jesus, they must care about the Word of God, or they wouldn't keep listening, because that's all they get. They must be interested in God, because all they're getting is the Word of God. They won't get anything else from me. But people who never crack open a Bible, or don't have any interest in learning what God has to say, obviously don't care what God wants. When you want to please someone, you look for ways to do it. It's not a burden, it's a joy. That's why true servants of Jesus Christ learn his book and get excited when they discover something that God wants them to do. Their attitude is, oh, good. Now I know what my Lord wants me to do. He wants me to do this or that. Now I have one more way to serve my master. Wonderful. And if you have any questions or comments, or you would like to be a part of this ministry, your prayers and your financial support are greatly appreciated. You can write Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box, 2211 Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box, 2211 Wausau, 54402-2211. Or you can email versebyverse@live.com. That's versebyverse@live.com. Until next time, Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.